Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be having a good interview this afternoon. And for you gals out there, if you feel like you're stuck with Mr. Wrong, well, you're going to have someone today that's going to be able to give you an insight on how you can work with that situation. Do you want to create your own script in your life? Well, Amy Beth O'Brien is my guest today. Amy, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you, Donna. Thanks for having me on your show.
Now, you are a consultant and a manager. You obviously love to write.
Mm-hmm.
I always get a kick out of the stories of people when they decide to, be honest about why they had to write this book. your topic especially, Stuck with Mr. Wrong. You got to tell us, Amy, why?
Why? Well,
yes.
I wrote the book because I've obviously experienced that, and I saw so many women, friends, acquaintances going through the same thing, and I had a really unique way of kind of freeing myself from a bad situation, and I wanted to share it with other women. A number of years ago, I found myself in a relationship with someone who I always describe the relationship as death by a thousand paper cuts, because it was constant annoyances and, you know, me feeling like I could fix it and feeling like I couldn't break free of it. And one day I was in Target and I was looking at the magazines and I just had this epiphany. I was looking at the stars covering the magazines and I said to myself, what if my life were a movie and people were watching me? And I guess it allowed me to step outside myself and view my life from an audience's perspective. And I asked myself, you know, would I be an inspiring character or would I be a frustrating character? And I realized I was not inspiring at all. I was very passive. I was constantly trying to keep peace. I was trying to make something work when clearly it was not. I wasn't listening to my own instincts that were telling me, get away from this person. This is not a good relationship. And so when I did that, everything shifted. I started to behave differently. I started to honor myself more. I started to see his behavior as manipulative and ridiculous instead of wondering what it was about me that could have been causing all these problems. So everything changed. I left the relationship. I found a better place to live. I've applied it to other things in my life, and that's how I came to write this book.
I loved your approach. I really did. I thought, this is a perspective that is so empowering. Actually, for those guys that are listening to the show, this would even go for you, because there are some women that are, well, they are what they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you have something that isn't working and you're in a relationship and you look at it and you go, no, this isn't the script that I want. I really like the use of that example because I think it's more empowering. And I think you've mentioned some things here. Gee, there had to be something wrong with me. That's a very common attitude.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if somebody wants to disable someone emotionally and mentally, if you're sort of in that thought patterning and they pick up on it, they just have a field day with you because absolutely it's all your fault. And then you have the scenario where you're passive. You're supposed to fix everything. Isn't it amazing how this is passed along? I was talking with some women and they said, yes, my mother did this. This is what my mother taught me to do. This is what good girls do.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, very interesting. Because I was part of that, too, and I'm sure you were, too. This is what you're supposed to do. Heavens, we see all this garbage that's dished out, whether it's in movies or you have certain groups. Why is it so hard for someone to really say, have like yourself, respect yourself, appreciate who you are? Why do you think that's so difficult?
I think because, you know, I talk about how we mold ourselves to another person's taste. We don't always have control over who we're attracted to. And I think we've all had that experience of being attracted to someone who turns out to be all wrong for us. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's something in us that says, okay, this is the person I'm attracted to. I really want him to like me, but I don't think he'll like me the way I am. So let me see how I can mold myself into a person he will like. And we start suppressing our true, authentic selves around this other person, and that cannot last.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we start really exposing our true selves, well, we're just opening ourselves up for criticism because now, you know, he's thinking, who's this person? And I think we're also conditioned, at least my generation, I'm sure yours too, relationships mm-hmm. are supposed to be forever. You're supposed to fall in love and get married and that live happily ever after. And so when you find yourself married or in a long-term relationship with a person, it doesn't go along with our belief system. It's supposed to work out. So when it's not, it's really difficult to look at it objectively and acknowledge it for what it is and have the guts to end it.
I think that is true.
It really is true.
And I think one of the saddest things is when you feel that because you become infatuated with someone, I'll use that word, mm-hmm. infatuated with someone, that everything is just supposed to be absolutely hunky-dory. Life isn't that way. And mm-hmm. it's not too much fun when you find out that your significant person in your life, suddenly you find out they use hair dye or you realize that they have, you know, Jack the Ripper in their family history, or you find out all these different things, and then go on the other side. You know, guy dating a gal could have the same problem.
Oh,
but,
absolutely, yeah.
I mean, it's really, really a sad thing when I think women are isolated. It's something that I can look back on my life, and it's like, well, the girls, depending on the environment, I know things have changed, but they haven't changed that much, believe me. I mm-hmm. find young women are just as ignorant and, what do I want to say, naive mm-hmm. as any other generation before them, regardless of what we think they're exposed to. It's quite fascinating to me. Every generation has to go through this. I really think you bring out some good points in your book. Number one, many times women will stay in relationships with men because they cannot support themselves financially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the number one reason. Mm-hmm.
And that is significant. Why do you think, with all the quote-unquote liberation that women have supposedly have gone through, why do you think it is so difficult for women to say, I need to be able to be self-sufficient? If something happened to my husband and I had to take care of my children, God forbid, but if something like that does happen, or, you know, anything can happen in life, how can I support myself? Why do you think that's still so hard for women to accept?
I once had a woman say to me, and this is a woman who was married with three children. She had just gotten back together with her husband after a year separation. He had serious problems with alcohol and other women, okay? Big financial trouble. And she said to me, I am an old-fashioned person. I believe the man should take care of the family. And she let this continue for another 4 or 5 years. Her marriage was never right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, several times she was on the brink of divorce, they'd get back together. And I said to her once, Laura, you really need to think about a career. You know, you're having financial problems, your husband's, you know, he's not quite got it all together, and you've got kids. No, no, no. Well, her house recently went into foreclosure. They're divorced, and she had to move from a 4,000-square-foot home into a 700-square-foot condo.
Oh, my goodness. Big change.
So this attitude is still very prevalent in our culture among a lot of different women. And my feeling is, you know, it isn't about whether or not you stay home with your children or you go to work. It's about having a skill set.
Mm-hmm.
It's about having the ability to take care of yourself and your dependents should something occur, because you don't have full control over the outcome of your life. You just do not. This, you know, you have control over how you react to these events, but things happen. People die. They divorce. They change. You know, people change. Who you marry at 25 is not always the same person at 45.
Mm-hmm.
As we all know, because we see a lot of, you know, there's a book out, and I wish I could remember the name of it, but it's about women in their 50s. It was written by a therapist who their husbands come home one day and simply announce, "I've fallen in love with someone else, and I'm leaving you." And supposedly these women are completely blindsided. I find that a little hard to believe, because I think there's always signs leading up to these things. But this happens.
Yes, it
does. And you know, it's an awful thing if you have no skills and you haven't worked for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the number one reason how women stay trapped in bad relationships is they don't know how to care for themselves financially.
I agree. Men are indoctrinated differently. Not that all of them do it, but most men are indoctrinated. You are responsible. You have to be the caretaker for the family. This is it. So they know they've got to have a skill set. That, and I think a lot of the Victorian, European thought patterns, religious trainings, all kinds of stuff that go way, way back, centuries back. This isn't something that just popped up like toast, you know, a couple of weeks ago. This has been going on for generations.
Yeah.
And it is very difficult to break those patternings. And I really think that that's something my husband has often said. Once you get certain patterns into social psyches, it's very difficult to shift those patterns unless there's a major trauma or something dramatic comes up, because it's easier just to carry it forward, regardless what culture you might be in. So it's just amazing. But let's talk about changing that mentality. You have some marvelous exercises in your book. Let's start off with the first one, and that is that we are going to become the star of our movie. You say you choose a fake name. Take us from there, because I think this is a marvelous exercise.
Sure. So this is all about, you know, looking at your life again from that audience's perspective. And in step one of my book, it's called Embrace Your Inner Screenwriter. And, you know, we're talking about what are your fears. There's a lot of fears around changing your beliefs, your attitudes. You know, it's possible that you're with the right person, but maybe you're unhappy in the relationship for other reasons. So what are your fears? So this is all about picking this name. So imagine yourself on the big screen. Okay, so you're viewing your life from an audience's perspective. Give your character a name. And start talking about her as though she were another person. And so the exercises in the first step are all about writing about yourself from this third-person perspective. And it really, you know that expression, you can't solve a problem with the same mind that created it. Well, how do you change your mind? You do it by looking at your life from the outside in. And so
it's marvelous.
That's what that exercise is all about. And I carry that throughout the book. I encourage the reader to continue to write that way, because it does shift your thinking.
Mm-hmm. You bring out how we need to trust our intuition. And, boy, is that ever the truth. That is so important. I can't tell you how many times, even with my background and experience, I've just not paid attention. And I go, why didn't I pay attention? Why didn't I listen to that little inner knowingness that's there? Why didn't I do what I was supposed to do? It's just amazing. And so many times our left brain side gets in there and says, now, wait a minute, you're not paying attention to the details. What are the facts? Are you analyzing this properly? And it could look perfect from A to Z, and something tells you, this isn't right. What's wrong.
Yeah.
What am I not paying attention to? And we ignore that.
Well, yeah, because that left brain is saying, where's the proof?
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. we need to say, I don't need proof. My gut instincts are all I need.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of people, you know, we say, oh, I'm not intuitive. Oh, yes, you are. You just don't like what it's telling you.
Correct. Boy, have I had lessons on that scale. Woo-hoo! Anybody that's lived life a little is going to be able to say, oh, could I tell you some stories?
Mm-hmm. I know.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And one of the things you address in your book is dreams. You say dreams are very much like art, whether it's a painting, a movie, or a really good book. They're full of symbolism and metaphor. That is so true.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a personal experience of your own where you found that this was really valuable to you.
Well, I can tell you, I went through a period in my life, I should start doing this again, where I really started paying attention to my dreams. And actually, it was in that same relationship. My relationship got to be such a traumatic, awful thing to be in that I started reaching to my higher source and saying, please help me. I need to figure out what to do here. And I had started looking for a new place to live. Writing was on the wall. I knew I needed to go. And I started to go to all these open houses. But anyway, I literally went to bed one night and I said a little prayer, please tell me where to go. And I had a dream. And in the dream, I had a fight with my boyfriend. And I got into the car and I started to drive away. And this sounds so funny, but you know how dreams are. I had a dream that I threw my air conditioner out the window.
I love that one. That is a real good PMS action. I like that one.
I know. Isn't that funny? I literally threw like this window size AC out the window and I started to get really hot. And all of a sudden I came up to a stop sign. And I had a choice to go left or right. And this sign appeared that said Rentham. And I woke up from the dream, and I thought, how odd. Because I live in Rentham right now. I wasn't living in Rentham at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the only time I'd ever been to Rentham was the one time I went shopping with my friends at the outlet mall. So when I analyzed that dream, I thought it was really interesting because, you know that expression, you're getting hotter, you're getting warmer, you're getting
mm-hmm.
closer. And mm-hmm. I saw a literal sign. And I eventually, I kind of got up and I went on realtor.com and I looked for houses in my price range in this town. And all I saw was a condo, so I kind of put it away because I didn't want to live in a townhouse. Well, a few months later, I had another dream. And in the dream, I saw this. Again, I was kind of standing over a for sale sign, and I looked at it, and it said something about woods or forest, and there was this cardinal on the sign with woods in the background, and I got up the next day, and I said, if the name of the condo association has anything to do with woods or forest, it was Forest Park Condominium.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
So I know, and I got up that day, I went down and looked at it. I walked in, and I knew it was my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I like, this is absolutely nuts. I can't believe that I'm actually buying a house based on a dream. But then I thought, you know, don't all great things in life begin with a dream?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I first moved here, I thought, oh, my God, what did I do? I don't know anyone. This is crazy. And, you know, I got up one morning, and this cardinal landed in the tree in the back, and I felt completely at peace. And I've been happy here ever since. My children have been happy here, and so I really believe that we get signs in our dream. Sometimes they're not so literal, but to me, that was God speaking to me.
Mm-hmm. And I think we all have to accept, however, that intuitive, insightful higher self comes through to us, and it's magical. It's just absolutely awesome. You address abuse. You address this so well in your book. And I just want to mention that you make a statement in your book, and I have it in front of me. You say, don't settle. Accepting someone's flaws doesn't mean accepting mistreatment. Being abusive, demeaning, mean, and critical are not flaws. They are unacceptable behaviors. There's a big difference between someone who leaves their dirty socks on the floor and someone who drinks and drives.
Mm-hmm.
Accepting your partner and his current financial status is the right thing to do. Accepting the fact that he sleeps around, embarrasses you in public, or takes away your freedom is not. I had a conversation with someone not too long ago that was in a very abusive situation. And I asked this individual, why do you feel this is something that you have to put up with? And they had a couple of kids. They'd been married for a few years. And I said, well, you know, he had a tough childhood. I said, yeah, and he's 42 years old. What's his excuse now? It's really very hard. And this woman was saying, well, she had gotten so accustomed to saying, well, it had to be somebody else's fault a long way back. Baloney. There comes a point when someone has to be held accountable for their actions. And when someone is an adult, they are an adult. They're supposed to be anyway. And
well,
if you don't hold them accountable.
He continues to choose to behave that way.
Mm-hmm.
And his reason behind it is, oh, I had a tough childhood. Well, too bad.
Yeah, a lot of people have tough childhoods.
We all have something in our background that's tough.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's, you know, and the men, I mean, I can tell you, I was in this relationship, and I did not grow up in a household where people shouted at each other.
Mm-hmm.
I find that unacceptable. And
I
this
agree.
Man shouted, you know, just yelled at me. And I, you know, I said, don't speak to me like that. Why are you speaking to me that way? He said, it's perfectly normal for people to act like that when they're angry with each other.
Mm-mm.
And I said, no, not where I come from.
Mm-hmm.
But he had grown up with abuse, and it was interesting because I think the lesson he took from that was that it was wrong to hit, but he never learned the lesson of it's not okay to mentally and emotionally abuse another person. That was his weapon of choice.
Well, go ahead.
No, that's okay. I just found it almost fascinating to be in a relationship a little older in life because I had already gone through a divorce and I had dealt with some, you know,
mm-hmm.
substance abuse issues with my husband. And so to go into a new relationship, I was kind of able to really, even though I did feel stuck, there was a part of me that also knew that this isn't normal behavior. And it was interesting to look back on and study and see how, and I think this is common in our culture now, that, you know, physical abuse, we're very open about that now. There are strict laws against it. You know, we have laws against stalking. We have laws against domestic violence. But when it comes to the emotional and verbal, that's the one, you can't arrest somebody on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that is where the woman has to really find her voice. And that sometimes takes a while. But it's really important. I found it fascinating that you had in here, and this is something women don't understand, 85% of the men who responded to a survey that was done online, and this was done with men that were dating, between July and August of 2009, they were asking them about the kind of woman that they wanted. And they'd rather marry a corporate ladder climber, quoting from your book, than a stay-at-home mom.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing.
I thought it was interesting. I did.
1950s have totally disappeared because you look at I think of my mother and my grandmother. I mean, the men of that generation, they had fits if their women wanted to work. It was just unbelievable. You weren't supposed to do that. It was a disgrace for the male. This is a big switch, folks.
Big switch, but the interesting thing is that the woman in that survey, when asked, what type of woman do you think men want, they assumed the men still wanted the at-home woman.
Mm-hmm.
The majority
mm-hmm.
of them did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're supposed to cook like the, you know, what do I want to say, the barefoot Contessa on television. And I'm sorry, it's not always going
wearing white and never and looking immaculate, yes.
Oh, yes, in the perfect kitchen. Don't you just love it? Never a sick dog or kids that are screaming or ranting or raving. I just have to chuckle when I hear all of these different things. But one of the things you bring out and you emphasize, and we sort of started off with this when we were talking at the beginning, women need to be able to control their own finances. They need to understand money.
Absolutely.
Why don't they teach this in the schools? I asked a financial advisor this last week. I said, why don't they teach this in the schools? What is wrong with our school system?
They don't have any money.
Oh, that's no excuse. That's no excuse. We've been hearing that. My goodness, they were talking about that when I was in school. That's ridiculous. Get a new routine, folks. Thank you very much. No, I mean, small businesses coming out to the schools, teaching the students. This is something I don't get it. I just don't understand why this is something that women are not encouraged to learn. The guys are encouraged to learn this. Why not the gals?
Yeah, schools really need to have a life skills course. That life skills course needs to teach children how to manage their money. They need to be taught how to manage their credit.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be taught the importance of an income, because financial independence begins with income.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, how are you going to earn that income? Are you going to do it through a job, or are you going to do it through a career? You know, right now everybody's screaming, we need jobs, jobs, jobs. I'm saying, no, you need careers.
Mm-hmm.
Because a job is, you know, usually something you dread.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go to work every day, you know, it's the job you had in high school. You know, people need careers. They need a path, something to grow toward. And, oh, I know, I've been thinking the same thing. Our schools really need to do a better job preparing kids. It isn't just about knowing algebra and
mm-hmm.
history. It's life
mm-hmm.
skills, practical things.
Right, and that is something that just, I don't know why there isn't that desire to teach kids that, but I think it is so important, because this isn't, life is magical on so many levels, but it also is very practical. And women, as well as men, need to know this. But women especially need to have that sense of self-confidence. Now, you have 10 tips in your book for becoming the star in your life movie, and I'm just going to run through them quickly. One is challenge your beliefs. Two is live in the present. Three is just do it. Stop asking for permission. Four, be your own best friend. Oh, that's so important. Five, identify areas in your life where you defer to others. Six, just say no. You don't owe anybody any explanations. Strong women are loved by men. 7, respect your time. 8, stop rationalizing. 9, make a dinner you want to eat. Yes. 10, employ tough love. Those are great tips. Those really, really are great tips.
Thank you. Those are actually published again in Aspire magazine. So they like them too.
Hey, great.
Yeah.
And then you talk about learning your lines, getting your act together. Who are you? Do you compromise too much? Find out what you need to know. Supporting players. Oh, that's such a big one. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
we have people in our lives that we have thought are supportive, and when we really open our eyes, we find they're not. That's really hard.
Oh, yes. And then you are surprised at the places that give you support.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I love this one sentence in your book. You said, the last thing you need is a sanctimonious mother, aunt, or friend who simply doesn't get it. Oh, boy. Those people, that's the last thing you need. You don't need that. You're wanting to find out who you are and what you can do. And you have in here a chapter on setting the stage. And you're supposed to get smarter with age, not go backwards.
You're supposed to.
Yes, they are. And I really think that you have so many good tips in here. Now, Amy Beth, what is your website? So if someone wants to find out more about your book, find out about the classes you do, the different things, so that they can become more aware of the 10 steps to making their own life story. This is a pretty good book. You would have a blast. Those of you listening, you will enjoy doing these exercises. I'm serious, because it's just you and God and nobody else's business. And it is wonderful. Take charge. This is a great book. What's your website, dear?
AmyBethOBrien.com. They can also get there by going to StuckWithMrWrong.com.
Okay.
Same place. And on my homepage, they can download a free chapter. They can also download a free journal. It's the writing exercises in the book. I've put them all into a companion writing guide. Mm-hmm. So they can download that and use that to complete the exercises.
I think it's wonderful. I think you did a fabulous job with your book.
Thank you.
And I really think that you've been very direct with a lot of your examples. And you can tell you really enjoy writing. And I congratulate you on a job well done. Stuck with Mr. Wrong, 10 Steps to Starring in Your Own Life Story. This isn't about bashing anybody. It's about taking off the rose-colored glasses that you have put maroon over so you can't see what's really going on. It really is good. It is absolutely marvelous. I think that this is just a terrific book. Amy Beth, thank you so much for being my guest today. And when you come out with your next book, let me know.
Thank you very much. I definitely will. I enjoyed this.
Great. This is Donna Sebo, Amy Beth O'Brien, Stuck with Mr. Wrong. Get the book. Find out what you can do to take charge of your life. Hey, guys, it's even a good read for you. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
We're back. The Northwest Women's Show, with 400 exhibits, entertainment, seminars, the Glow Experience, fashion shows, and shopping, shopping, shopping. Meet HGTV's Terry Haas, animal communicator Polly Klein, and Seattle's hottest firefighters. March 4th through 6th at Quest Field Event Center. The Northwest Women's Show. It's such a girl thing. Show information at nwwomenshow.com.
Hi, this is Rio. I'm the author of the cutting-edge book, Hooked on Raw. I want to give you and your loved ones the gift of optimum health. So when you order my book, Hooked on Raw, which has over 350 delicious, healthy recipes, I'll include my new DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, for a half price. Just go to my website, rawfoodinfo.com, and click on Holiday Special. That's rawfoodinfo.com. Click on Holiday Special.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are open, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And all I need from you, if you're a first-time listener, is your first name or your initial, and then after that, I'm delighted to give you information. Of course, I always like to know where you're calling from, too. And then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. Quickly, I want to mention the people that are going to be on the air with me this week, tomorrow. Hey, we're going to be building muscle. Joan Pagano is going to be my guest. Strength Training for Women. I think what she's put together in this publication is tremendous, and you'll enjoy it. And then on Wednesday, the Total Novices Guide to UFOs. T.L. Keller is going to be my guest. I have not come across very many books that have the documentation like he's got in it. It is so well done. This is a man who has done a lot of research into UFOs, and he's a fabulous person. I really am looking forward to having him as a guest. Then we're going to be talking about the brain mechanic. Spencer Lord is going to be my guest this week. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking about a cup of cappuccino, women entrepreneurs. Oh, what a dynamic publication that is. And then the last day of the month, we're going to be talking with Rio, the delightful woman who is really into nutrition and talking about raw foods and how to bring them into your diet. And I want to remind those of you that are in the state of Washington, the Northwest Women's Show is coming up. It's hard for me to believe. 2 weeks, and we're going to be there. My goodness. And I'm going to be in booth number 407. You're hearing the ads here. And I'm telling you, it is an absolutely fabulous, fabulous event. And I'm so delighted to be a part of it. But I want to encourage you to stop by my booth. And also be aware that on Friday, March the 4th, I will be having a women's forum. 3 hours. The first hour from 11 until noon is going to be with two women who are very much into quantum healing, energy healing. We'll be talking about that. And you as an audience will be able to interact with them. And then from 1 to 2, we're going to be talking about animals, communication with animals, and all kinds of good things there that we, if we're animal lovers, that we all enjoy. And then in the last hour, we're going to be talking about law. Law for the juvenile, also for abused women. So there is just a whole bunch of good stuff going on. And then on Saturday and Sunday at 1:30 and 1 o'clock respectively, I am going to be presenting a program called The Psychic Mind and You. So I hope you will be able to attend. It's a wonderful event. I've been doing this for a number of years, and I just so enjoy meeting those that come out, say hello, and it's just such a dynamic activity. There's hundreds of vendors there. There's lots of things going on. More than one stage that is filled with activities. It's just a delight. Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756. To check out more information on the Northwest Women's Show, go to northwestwomenshow.com, and they'll have all the details there for you. Sometimes you hear stories about people, and you wonder if they have a problem. Well, there was a lady in the 1600s. They weren't as sophisticated then as we are today relative to the understanding of people's idiosyncrasies. But this woman was a queen. Yes, Queen Christina of Sweden. She had a itsy-bitsy problem. She was terrified of fleas. She was so afraid of them, in fact, that she commissioned the construction of a tiny cannon for her bedroom, which used to fire itsy-bitsy cannonballs at the pesky little things. I don't even know how she could see them, unless they were really having a flea infestation. Nobody ever commented on how accurate she was when she fired the cannons, but apparently it was an activity that she spent a lot of time on every day. I wonder how many times they had to fix the wall. Oh, well, who knows? And then, you know, it's amazing how things evolve. Russia's Catherine the Great. Ah, what a gal. I'll never forget when I was in Russia seeing the collection of art at the armory and seeing her portrait. She really was a beautiful woman. Now, she was in the 1700s, and she was quite a gal. Do you know, one day, this shows you how ridiculous some things can be. Talk about bureaucracies. One day, she happened to see a rose growing in an area of her garden, and she was so impressed with that rose that she had a guard protect it. Do you know that protection went on for years? Long after her death, the guard was assigned to stand in position as she had requested him to. Amazing stuff. How many things are still going on today that should have been dumped a long time ago? Sort of like cleaning out the closet. Yep, time to get rid of the clutter. Well, I just thought I would share those little tidbits with you today. I have got a marvelous recipe that I want to share with you. It's chocolate. Yes. Oh, it's a good thing. It is the chocolate Lamington pound cake. Yum. If you like pound cake, and if you like it with strawberries and whipped cream or ice cream, or you toast the pound cake, yeah, it's really good toasted. Doesn't need any extra butter, but hey, you know, what it's loaded with butter. But this is absolutely a delicious cake, and it is something that is easy to make, and it gives a different appeal and a surprise to people when you would serve it. It goes wonderful with flavored coffees, with regular coffee. It's just great if you just wanted to have a dessert. It's very unique, yet it's easy to make. So you might want to have that pad of paper and pen handy so that I can share it with you. I wanted to also let you know, I'm going to be telling you a story about a woman. You know, we were talking earlier about what to do if you're stuck with Mr. Wrong. Well, this is about a wonderful young woman. Her name is Caitlin Boyle, and she has a message for women everywhere. And what is that message? Well, I'll be sharing that with you in a little while. But before I do, I wanted to talk about a young man. He's from Missouri. He's called a daredevil, and he's in his late 20s. Now, he has a profession that I don't know that many of us would be interested in. What is that? He's a human cannonball. Mm-hmm. He gets fired from a cannon 500 times a year, and he does this all over the world. I wonder if he uses very much Excedrin, you know, or aspirin or anything like that. Firing from a cannon, that's not only noisy, but it is very, very dangerous. Now, he was born into a circus family. Both of his parents were very much involved in the circus. His father was a human cannonball and did it for years and years and years. And he said when he was 17 years old, his dad, after being shot from the cannon, ended up sustaining a back injury and asked his son to step in for him to perform. And he said, that's it. That's how I started. That's how I got my profession. And he's been doing it ever since. Now, apparently, there is a secret to getting the cannon to fire with a person in it. And the barrel on this cannon, I've got a picture of it in front of me, it's huge. In fact, the barrel is 34 feet long, and when the cannon is ignited, the force on his body is equivalent to 10 G's. And he said he goes from 0 to 50 miles per hour into the air in a fifth of a second, and the whole flight of about 150 feet takes under 4 seconds. He goes up about 80 feet up in the air, does a somersault, and lands on his back in a net. Now, this is a pretty good-sized net. It's 20 by 50 feet big. And he said when he's flying, can you imagine yourself doing this? You've been shot out of a cannon. All of the action takes less than 4 seconds from the time you're shot out of this cannon until you land in that net. 4 seconds, that's all we're talking about. In that 4 seconds, he is figuring out which direction the wind is hitting him from, where the net is, does he need to correct his flight patterning, and is everything clear around him? No obstacles, no trees, nothing unexpected. And he said, I'll even think, I wonder what I'm having for dinner. That's all in 4 seconds. We human beings are really incredible. And he said he's been fired over the Grand Canyon. He's been shot over Ferris wheels. And this one, I don't know how he did this one. He said once he was shot in the slime, yeah, for a world record. He said it's just unbelievable. His dad was in the business of building cannons, so he was very knowledgeable about it. And he said, we have cannons ranging from 18 feet long to 36 feet long. And his dad still performs. That's right. Even though he had a back injury way back, he just recently was performing in Tijuana, Mexico. They shot him from Tijuana into the United States. He was the first person. Father, 60s, in his 60s. He he was the first person ever shot over an international border, and his dad was holding his passport as he was flying through the air. And these are stories that when you hear them, you go, oh, no, that couldn't happen. But it's all recorded. It's all documented. David the Bullet Smith is the young man I have been talking about. And is this job fun? Well, yes and no. He goes through a lot of pain when he performs, but he said, my son isn't interested in it, but my daughter is. Isn't it amazing how kids will want to pick up on whatever their parents have done? So that's just a little bit of a unique story about a real person who performs, his family still involved, and his dad, well, something's keeping him going. Maybe that cannon gives you an extra, what do you want to say, an extra shot in life? Is that a pun or not? This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. When I come back, we'll be talking about Caitlin. And have that pad of paper and pen handy, too, because this recipe for this pound cake is scrumptious. We'll be right back.
It's time to get your glow on at the Northwest Women's Show, a show that's all about you. 400 exhibits, 4 entertainment stages, fascinating seminars, and best of all, shopping, shopping, shopping. New this year is the Glow Experience. 5 fun and easy steps to help you make the most of your time at the show. Meet Terry Haas from HGTV's Design to Sell. Polly Klein, famous animal communicator. Dance diva Chris Linares, who will help you unleash all the power you need to dance your own dance. Plus fun and trendy fashion shows from JCPenney, favorite authors Anne and Leslie Rule. And they're back! Seattle's hottest firefighters. Bring your mom, your daughter, your sister, your friends. The Northwest Women's Show, sponsored by Drugstore.com, American Family Insurance, BECU, Como TV, Beauty.com, and Green Smoke. It's electric. Get your glow on at Questfield Event Center March 4th through 6th. The Northwest Women's Show, it's such a girl thing. For show information, go to nwwomenshow.com.
Hi, this is Rio, host of the Hooked on Raw radio show on rawenergyradio.com. If you're interested in the raw and living food lifestyle, along with the real story of what's happening to our health freedoms, and you don't mind a little controversy, listen to my radio show and podcasts on rawenergyradio.com. Each week, we interview guests and cover topics you won't hear on mainstream radio. Get informed, healthy, and involved. rawenergyradio.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. And find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are open if you want to give me a buzz. 888-815-9756. Okay, let me give you this chocolate pound cake recipe. Oh, it's so good. Now, you need 3/4 of a cup of butter, 3/4 of a cup of superfine sugar, 3/4 of a cup of superfine sugar, 3 eggs. Now, you want these at room temperature, not cold, at room temperature. 1 1/4 cups of self-rising flour, 1 1/4 cups of self-rising flour. And you're going to need 2 tablespoons of unsweetened cocoa, 2 tablespoons of unsweetened cocoa, 1 3/4 ounces of dark chocolate. Get the good chocolate. Don't skimp on this. 1 3/4 ounces of dark chocolate, and you want to break them up into little pieces. You need 5 tablespoons of milk. No skim milk here. You want to use whole milk. Or you could even use evaporated milk if you wanted. 1 teaspoon of butter. 3/4 cup of confectioner's sugar, and you need about 8 tablespoons of shredded coconut, and then about 2/3 cup of heavy cream, 2/3 cup of heavy cream, and that's going to need to be whipped. Now, this is how simple this is. You're going to need a 1-pound loaf pan, and preferably a longer, thinner one. And it could be like 3 by 10 inches. And what you want to do is grease that, you know, use the nonstick cooking spray. I'm lazy. That's what I like to use. Or you can use just plain butter, whatever you prefer. Then you want to cream together your butter and sugar in a bowl until it's light and fluffy. Don't forget, your butter needs to be at room temperature as well as your eggs. And then gradually you want to add the eggs, beating well after each addition. And then you want to, while that's beating and blending just beautifully, sift together your flour and cocoa. And then you don't want to beat it. You want to fold it in with a spatula. Then you're going to pour the mixture into your prepared loaf pan, level the top, and bake it in a preheated oven at 350 degrees for about 40 minutes. Now, you want to make sure, so I like to take a cake tester. And that's just one of those long wooden skewers. That's what I use for something like the pound cake. Or just touch the top, and if it springs back, you know that it's done. You want to cool the cake in the pan once it's taken out of the oven for 5 minutes, and then turn it out onto a wire rack so that it'll totally, totally cool. And that's going to take some time, maybe about an hour. But just give that much time. Just you want that cake totally cool. Now, in the interim, you can take your chocolate, your milk, and butter, put it in the upper portion of a double boiler, and you want to stir until the chocolate has melted. Then you want to add in your confectionery sugar, and you want to beat it until it's nice and smooth. Then you cool until the frosting is thick enough to spread. And once it's that nice consistency, you want to spread it all over the cake, and sprinkle with the shredded coconut and allow the frosting to set. Because this next step, you don't want the frosting to be so fresh that it's going to be too soft. So you want to be sure that the frosting has a chance to set with the coconut in it and really be firm. Now, this is what makes this so absolutely scrumptious. When the frosting has set and is nice and firm, you want to cut a V-shaped wedge from the top of the cake, and you set it aside. And it's very nice if you use a bread knife for this, because the serrated edge makes the cutting really, really easy. Then the whipped cream that you have prepared, you put it in a pastry bag, or you put it in a plastic bag, snip off the end, and you just pipe the cream down the center of the V-shaped gap, and then take that wedge of cake, put it on top of the cream, and then along the seams where that V-shaped piece is sitting up, pipe in some more of that delicious whipped cream. Now, if you can't serve it right away, put it in the refrigerator, but I'll tell you what, you serve that with a cup of coffee, it is absolutely marvelous. And if you really want to be decadent, I'll tell you what you do. Have some hot chocolate sauce. Yes, good stuff. Put that over there. Oh, yum, 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 yum. Really, really good. Well, I know we've just got a couple of minutes here, so I don't think I'm going to have a chance to tell you Caitlin's story. But I just want to say that, and I'll tell you this tomorrow. I'll share her story with you tomorrow. Because this woman, with Post-it notes, did an absolutely incredible thing and well over 7,000 plus are following her patterns and changing the lives of others. It's just an incredible story. Well, I know we're just about out of time here. I wanted to say beauty is not in the face. Beauty is a light in the heart. It was a man who said that, Khalil Gibran. If you've never read any of his work, you should find it. He is a marvelous, marvelous poet, and he lived a long time ago, but left us with a lot of beautiful poetry and wonderful messages to live by. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Write your own script. I think Amy Beth had a wonderful idea there, because if you write your script, then you get to define your role that you want to play in life. And that's quite empowering, don't you think? This is Donna Sebo. Tomorrow, we are going to be talking about strength training for women. So I invite you to join me. And don't forget, if you've missed a show, you can always pick it up on the archives. This is Donna Sebo. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you are. And I'll be back with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.